Welcome to Kingdom School here at Identity Church. Thanks for joining us. I have the pleasure of teaching this morning, and I tell you, I am anticipating 2018 with great fear and trembling. and you know, one of the things being the senior leader here at Identity Church, I have the responsibility to keep the ship pointed in the right direction. We call this Kingdom School for a reason, and it's Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's my life scripture, and this is Kingdom School, and as we turn the ship for 2018, we're going to keep several things in mind. We are a kingdom church.
Yes.
We are identity focused.
Yes.
Which is sonship, and the father-son paradigm. Those are the three mandates of our church. It's the three mandates for me. Some of you may not know who Chris Dupree is. He'll be here next Sunday. I was on the phone with him this morning. We have he wrote the song "Dance with Me." He's a heavy hitter. He has a father-son story that has made him actually famous around the world. I mean, I was just on the phone with him. We're both crying on the phone, telling our daddy stories and how good God is as a father. And so I really believe that we got Bill Vanderbush coming this Wednesday night. Then we have him next Sunday. And you know, my bookkeeper and my accountant are going, you're spending the equity of the house. And sometimes you need to spend the equity of the house. When sometimes it's the outside voice that people hear, but this is an inside voice. So I want you to go to Matthew chapter 6, and let's look at some things in Matthew chapter 6. This is my life scripture, so we'll just take it apart and understand that one of the issues that I personally had was that I was taught that the church was the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And the church is not the kingdom. Mm-hmm. It's a part of the kingdom. Okay. The one thing about the church is it had a beginning when Christ was crucified and rose and filled his people with his spirit. That's when the church was birthed. Mm-hmm. And the church has an end. And the end is when we come into the true maturity of our sainthood. And as we come into maturity, and we become the body and his return in the fullness of who he is. So the church is not eternal.
Right.
Man, that just messes with some people's theology. Mm-hmm. You know, and the Lord basically says that, and against this church, the gates of Hades, the church is supposed to take down the gates of Hades.
Right.
But it's the focus on the kingdom that releases the heavenly government in the earth.
Right.
Okay? And I'm telling you, the veil between the heavenly realm and the earthly realm is getting thinner.
Oh, yes, hallelujah. It is.
Okay?
Yes, it is.
One of the things that we battle, I have battled, when I got born again, when I got transformed in 1993, when Jesus walked through the wall, I realized he was a king.
Amen.
I was born and raised in church. I had all the churchy stuff, but I knew him as sweet baby Jesus, paid for my sins, and that's cool. But when he walked through the wall and said, basically, you choose me or I'll let hell have its way with you, mm-hmm. I didn't meet sweet baby Jesus who paid for my sins. I met a king who wanted me to rule a kingdom with him.
Yes, amen.
And he had to bring me into a place of knowing God the Father to get the boundaries of my rulership.
Amen.
And that's been a long process. But I found that I had been birthed in fear. I had some issues as a child, and the spirit of fear had actually made me aggressive. I felt like my father had not protected me. The church was not protected me. I had this, and in that, the spirit of fear came in.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You understand fear is not faith. Fear is not the Holy Spirit. And many of us battle fear. So when you go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All these things, what all these things? Go back up to verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life.
Right.
Okay, so if I seek the kingdom, this fear thing I have will get whooped.
That's right.
The problem is we're trying to get rid of fears, anxieties, and we're running to the church instead of the kingdom. That's pretty direct.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying you can't get it in the church, but if your church is church-focused and not kingdom-focused, they're going to make themselves your covering and not Christ.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Too many people have been saved into church and not grafted into Christ.
Yeah.
That's right.
Good teaching.
That's right.
Okay. So not all of the kingdom is in the church, but all of the church is in the kingdom.
That's right.
So in other words, when my focus is seek first the kingdom, and my identity comes through that, my sonship comes through that, my knowing the Father comes through that, the boundaries of my rulership come through that, then I can find my place in the church and know how to rule.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Is it that blunt? And
yeah,
it is.
It is.
Then we get into people who go, well, I'm a prophet, I'm an apostle. I'm like, great, that's temporal. What? Mm-hmm. And when you have your identity and your gifting, now you're a nut job.
Yep.
Now you're an accident going somewhere to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So let's continue to read. Do not worry about your life. Dude, do you realize what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on?
Yep.
Is not life more than food and body more than clothing?
Yeah.
So I meet Jesus, 93, in a powerful way. He gives me this, I'm a king, I'm going to threaten you. If you choose me, everything will be great. Right, okay. So this becomes my life scripture, and all these things will be added unto you. What things? Are you telling me that I shouldn't worry about food? No, and I don't want you to eat for 40 days.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yes. My body's of the earth, and it gets fed by the earth.
Okay. Okay.
No, I'm worried.
Okay, but see here. Okay, so catch this.
Yeah.
Whatever portion birthed you is what portion has to sustain you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
That's true.
Okay. So if we look at the beginning in Genesis, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit took some dirt and breathed in it.
Yeah.
And said, they're made in our image and likeness. So the portion that came from the breath of God, I have to choose if that's my life-giving source or the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
When you choose dirt as your source, fear has a place to rule you.
Right. Yes.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you come to seek first the kingdom, you can't seek the kingdom without knowing the king. When the king becomes your source of life and not what you eat or drink, you can whoop fear.
Yes.
You can cast it out.
Yes.
And so right off the bat in my conversion, he dealt with my fear, but he dealt with it from the greater authority in my life, which was my spirit man.
Mm-hmm.
It says God is love. And so he started dealing with my love walk. God is light. He started dealing with the darkness in me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And God is life.
Mm-hmm.
So the darkness in me was fear, demonic places. I had given the enemy rulership.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to cast him out and put a new king there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I had to understand that the life-giving spirit sustained me for 40 days. The first 40-day fast that I ever did was the most incredible thing. I had a tumor on my hand, on my wrist, that the doctors were like, oh, we need to open it. Disappeared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Your body will do some things when the source of its life is the spirit and not the flesh. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?
Yes.
I mean, you know, listen, running naked will get you in jail and you will start a jail ministry. That's not what he's talking here. He's talking about the pursuit of clothing yourself.
Right.
Is the Father above your energy, your pursuit that produces the clothing, that produces the food? And that's really what he's saying.
Yeah.
Am I first?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? That scripture right there, I was like, what are you saying to me?
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote some things down and realized I had a partial truth on it. Years later, I went back to my life scriptures. I had had someone come to me and needed me to pay the rent. Being the good Christian who gives everything away, because you can't outgive God, and that is a lie. You can absolutely outgive God if he's not telling you to give. If you're moved with an emotion instead of an obedience,
yeah,
you will be broke, and then you'll blame God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so this person, I wound up giving this man his money for his rent. And I thought I would be so blessed. The next morning I got up to do my devotions and hear the Father say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And that isn't what he said. He said to me, "Thank you very much for screwing up this man's life for the next 7 years."
Wow.
I said, "What?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even ask."
Mm-hmm.
It's taken me years to get him into this place to hear the stuff that he doesn't want to hear about the character issues, about his inability to be a good steward, about tithing and giving. And he says, and now that you've bailed him out without my voice, it'll be 7 years for him to get back into the same condition, because there's cycles in people's lives, and sometimes you miss the window of healing. So years later, I took that spanking and realized what I did. I had become his Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I had become his good shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say? A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. A good shepherd provides for his sheep. A good shepherd, and all of a sudden, I realized I had become his shepherd instead of forcing him to find the shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
If someone is on a consistent basis, continue to run into these cycles of life issues, who's their shepherd?
Mm-hmm.
Whoever's enabling
that. Yep. Enabling. So you have to listen. This is a self-evaluation too.
Right.
Oh, so have I allowed this church to give to me to now become my source and replace my good shepherd?
No.
Let's reverse it. Is my business ability to where I don't need anything from this church become my source? That's just out of balance. Is that the other?
Right.
Am I hearing the good shepherd to say, "Come and I want you to work and do this"?
Mm-hmm.
Be bivocational and not take second seat, because the religious folk will say, "Well, you're not full time." Really? Get up in the morning and ride with me and see if I'm full time.
Mm-hmm.
Really? My wife will tune you up in about 3 minutes. She'll tell you really quick, "I produce more fruit in my job and in my business than I do in this church, and you tell me I'm not full time," she will eat your lunch.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's how it should be.
But I know. But the religious system,
right,
will say, "Oh, you're not full time." I've been in big conference. "You must be full time." Dude, I stand up there and compare myself to you any day of the week.
You have to look at the definition of full time.
Yeah.
Most people think full time is a man who comes and sits in the church office for 16 hours a day,
mm-hmm,
and then goes home and then comes back the next day and does it over again.
That's called overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Look at verse 27. "Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" So what was the first verse? Do not worry about
right,
life, about these things, about
right,
the natural things. Then he's saying, so what has your worrying gotten to? Where are you at when you're worried? How many things have you worried about that actually happened? First of all, that percentage is not very high.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the problem with worry. When the principality of fear rules your life,
mm-hmm,
it actually empowers the demonic.
Mm-hmm.
The book of Job said it. The very thing I feared has now come upon me.
Right.
You become the magnet and attract the demonic.
That's right.
When you walk in fear and worry.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's good. Say that's good, Gary.
Yeah, it is.
Verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lily of field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 30. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Uh-oh.
Yeah.
There's the zinger.
So if fear and worry is ruling my life, it's a faith issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you trusting in?
That's right.
You trusting in your abilities in your job? You trusting your abilities for the provision that's coming? Are you trusting in, if I get into this program, I can do this? Blah, blah. Are you actually trusting in the Lord? Now, there's a participation that we all have to do.
Oh, sure. Yep.
Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? Verse 32, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you have need of them all. And then he goes to the life scripture. So when I seek the kingdom, I cancel my fear of my job.
Mm-hmm.
When I seek the kingdom, I cancel the fear of my physical body. When I seek the kingdom, I cancel my inability, listen to this, to function in life's skills.
Say that one more time.
When I seek the kingdom, I cancel my ability to look for another source to function.
Yeah, that's
He's the source.
Yes, that's right.
You can't seek the kingdom and not know the king.
That's right.
That's this scripture right here. You got to say, but seek first the kingdom of God and
His righteousness.
So many people seek the kingdom because it opens doors for them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you sought Him and His righteousness, the word right, you know, His righteousness. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or His seed begging for bread. Well, I took that my children that were dabbling and involved in drugs, they can't. Why? I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. If they continue in that lifestyle, they will not be successful.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I took the scripture, I'm a righteous man, they're my seed, there has to be a standard against the demonic realm that's trying to destroy my offspring.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to war.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, we don't think we're righteous. So this whole scripture comes into fear and identity.
Right, that's right.
Are you righteous?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then why are not your prayers availing much?
That's right.
If our prayers really availed a lot, we think we'd pray a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because we don't believe they're that powerful, so we don't do it.
But they are.
This week, Susie and I were having intense fellowship. And I was mad.
Iron sharpens iron.
Do what? What was that?
Iron sharpens iron.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
And that wasn't
well,
iron.
That is fellowship in the Lord. You know?
And I was angry with her. And in a sweet little voice, the Holy Spirit said to me, huh, have you even prayed about it?
Oops.
Well, she hasn't either, I'll bet. He goes, but you don't even have the credentials in your own life to ask her. So I went to the Lord, and I'm battling some fears. I'm battling some insecurities. I'm battling some unknowns. 2018 is freaking me out.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Lord, turn on the prophetic. Then we see stuff we can't control.
Mm-hmm. Just like the Lord. Yeah.
He does have a sense of humor.
Yes, he does. He wants to push our buttons.
So.
Yes.
So I started having some. Is this the time and the place? Yeah. Start looking at Scripture differently. In the Pentecostal movement, we focused on being filled with the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Spirit. Are you filled? Hey, brother, are you a Spirit-filled Christian?
Tongue-talking.
Are you a tongue-talking, pew-jumping, Holy Ghost-rolling?
Bible-thumping.
Bible-thumping. Yeah, okay, but all right? And I say this with all due respect, but we've watered down the Spirit life much more than it should. And what I have done consistently is where I see, like Galatians, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How many times have you heard that scripture?
Lots.
Well, what does it do to you? Has it been watered down to where you don't even shift your heart to see if you're walking in the Spirit, or do you just keep quoting it? I can tell you, most of us keep quoting it because you haven't changed your, it hasn't changed your behavior. Why?
You have to also look at it, you know, people are so secretive and talking about the people in the church, no matter what church, is, are we watering down the Spirit? Are we watering down the Spirit because we won't admit that we have a problem with the lust?
Sure. Absolutely.
Or we don't even recognize it because we've lived with it so
lust
long.
Lust is something.
Normal.
We have lust.
Yeah.
But we don't go to the Spirit when the lust appears.
Well, even going back to the, you know, the simple script. I mean, if you ever see me sign my books, Matthew 6:33, right? Listen, it's my life scripture. And I have to go back this week. The reason I'm teaching is I have, listen, I got 17 pages I'm not teaching. I went back to the basics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm battling fear.
Yeah.
Why am I, at my Christian walk, battling fear? Why? Because I like to be in control.
Yes.
And when I am, he's not.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean I don't have authority. I said control.
Mm-hmm.
Control is a protectant of the unknown.
Yes, it is.
Instead of the excitement of what's coming.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yep.
And so it's a lack of faith. I mean, he started a good work in me. He's not going to throw me over a cliff.
Right. It's even if he does, he'll catch you.
I put this on Facebook. I woke up at 5 o'clock the other morning, frustrated, and I said something about it. I said, I am so frustrated. And here's what he said to me: frustration is birthed when you have a. And he's talking to me specifically because you have a clarity of the blueprint. But you lack the understanding of what it's going to look like or who's going to be involved.
Mm-hmm. True.
That's what he said to me this week. Right. You are birthing frustration because you have I do have some clarity right now.
Yeah.
On the blueprint. But I lack the understanding of what it's going to look like and some of its function and who's going to be on board.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's where fear then.
That's fear comes in.
Yeah.
Is this making sense?
Yes.
Controls the protectant of what?
The unknown.
Can I just share? I've been watching on Netflix. It's AD, the Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's called AD, the Kingdom, and it's all about the It was all about the life of Jesus before he went to the cross, and then after he came back and saw his disciples and the apostles and. And the last episode was last night when, you know, Peter takes off and Philip takes off and Paul takes off and they're spreading the word. But there was one thing through all of the episodes, and we lack it in the church today, and it's the excitement and the anticipation and the expectation of what God is going to do with us.
Well, that's control. See, when it's control.
Yeah. It's you got to turn it around.
When it's control, you're controlling the future instead of him controlling.
Yeah.
I think we lose our excitement.
Oh, yeah.
The problem is fear steals. Listen, and I got this. Fear steals your buy-in.
Right. But fear really is based in your lack of intimacy and your lack of relationship with the Lord, because if you know for sure that he's upholding you, he's walking in front of you, he's the one that's closer than a brother, he walks next to you, he talks in your ear, and he said, this is the way, walk ye in it. If you are resting in that, then you can live
sure.
a life of anticipation and excitement. And fear becomes a, you know, a second-rate foe, really.
That's good. It's like the unknown becomes an adventure.
Oh, absolutely. You just
here's the trick of the enemy, though.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what I've battled this week. Here's the trick of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
I have whooped that rascal
mm-hmm.
many times.
Yeah.
And when you destroy a principality at that level,
mm-hmm.
he leaves for a season.
Yes.
But when he comes back,
oh, yeah.
we think we've gone backwards.
No.
It's a new attack.
It's a new attack.
And what it should be is as an indicator
yeah.
of the future.
Oh, yeah.
Who you buying into.
Yep.
What we used to do after deliverance, we would really try to make the people understand that you'll wake up the next day and it's going to feel like the spirit is still there. But what it is the spirit trying to get back in.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Same thing. You know.
Mm-hmm.
See, so years ago, one of the preachers said to me, he says, Son, he said, quit being a Christian he said, you're a man of faith with fear trying to get in. You're not a man of fear trying to put faith in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So he went back to identity and position.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
You know, so I'm going to share a dream. I think this will work. There's a transition. There's a generational shift going on.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the older are passing away.
Yeah.
I had a situation where I had an encounter in Vero Beach on Christmas Day in Vero Beach where I brought my jacket to my father and. He asked me, he wasn't going to be home, so he said, just put it in the trunk of my car. And when I did, I had an absolute encounter that I couldn't process for the two-hour drive home till midnight. And then I went to bed. And in that encounter, I was laying my father's coat into his trunk, and I realized that was his mantle.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said, it's now time to walk in your own. You've done a good job of restoring your family's mantle. Now it's time to walk in yours. And he goes, you notice that in dreams and visions and cars are always ministries.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't bring his mantle into the house, which is your inheritance. You brought it and left it into his car.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew something interesting was happening. So I went to bed that night. And I had a prophetic dream where I walked into heaven. I walked into heaven and I was assigned an escort angel. And was told to go into the Ancient of Days prayer team hall.
Mm.
Underneath that plaque is great cloud of witnesses. I've been there before, so I act like I own the place. And I go walking in there, and I get stopped at the door because I had basically outrun my angel. And I was not allowed in without my escort angel,
mm.
which was different. I've never had that. And I walk in, and there's 50 or 60 of us with an escort angel standing behind us with their hand on our right shoulder. And there's 12 people on a bench. And there's three rows of people behind them. And I knew they were all a great cloud of witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
They were the intercessors. They were the heavenly.
Mm-hmm.
And they were selecting new team members out of the 50, 60 that were there.
Mm-hmm.
I knew my mother and my mother-in-law were on the left-hand side. I knew them. I could not visually see them. I knew where they're at, but I was blocked, and I knew that they could not influence the selection process.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven does have influence.
Mm-hmm.
So from this scenario,
mm-hmm.
their influence was blocked.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this lady on the right-hand side starts interviewing me. And she said, I see you're very vulnerable. You're very open. You don't hide anything. And as she talks to me, I recognize her and realize who she is.
Mm-hmm.
She is the mother of a man who has a ministry in Orlando, who I grew up with him. and I had committed a sinful act, in my opinion, when I was 13 years old. And I knew this lady didn't know who that was me. and she's telling me you're open, you're vulnerable, you're purity, and I'm like, oh God, and I'm hiding this shame in my heart because I know who she is, and she doesn't know who I am. Meanwhile, I'm seeing from her to this escort angel, she's getting complete download of everything about me. It's like this data trunk line is going. I'm thinking, oh God, she's going to find out who I am. I'm hiding this thing. But she chooses me. And so her name is Mrs. Carlsworth, Tim Carlsworth's mother. And it gets over with. As we're walking to a banquet hall to the left, I'm looking for my mother and my mother-in-law. Can't find them. I know they're there, but I can't. And so we sit down, and everybody's sitting there with hors d'oeuvres and punch, and they're doing their thing. And I walk up to Mrs. Carlsworth, and I said, hey, I really appreciate you picking me to be on your team. And she goes, yeah, the Lord just really, there was a drawing to you. And I just really just, you know, love your spirit. And I said, Mrs. Carlsworth, I said, do you know who I am in the natural? She goes, no, only by the spirit. I realized then that's why she couldn't see my shame.
Mm-hmm.
She only knew me by the spirit. And I said, I know your son, Tim. She goes, really? I said, yeah. One of my parishioners at my church, David Black, works for him. And she lights up like a Christmas tree. I pray for David Black every day. Him and my son are in ministry. And she lights up. And she goes, you're a pastor in the same region as my son. She goes, two generals in the same region. That's why. And she's lit up. She goes, and you're not generals of the old who operated out of positional authority.
Mm-hmm.
You're generals because you know the Father.
Because
you're sons. And she's lit up. Now I'm going, holy moly, what's going on? And I said, I need to talk to you about something that happened. I said, when I was 13, I had a paper route. She goes, yeah. And back then, streaking and flashing was in style, and me and my two friends decided to flash the lady that ran the switchboard at the Indian River Hospital at 5 o'clock in the morning. And we had raincoats on, and I had to go down and deliver a paper, and my friends put their shorts back on, and I was butt naked, and I flashed you. And I've always felt guilty. And she looked at me, she goes, sweetheart, I'm a mother. I've seen a lot of naked little boys. That never offended me. But it was just, and that really did happen. that was the part of the dream I wish was a dream. But she just lit up and she says, it's going to be really good having you on the team and praying for you. And I look over and there's my mother. And there's Susie's mother, the little plate of hors d'oeuvres. And they look at me with this great acceptance. They just wave at me. And I wake up out of this dream. I'm like, God, what is this? He said, this is part of the fear you're having. Is that you don't think I do a prayer covering for every advancement that I've offered. And what that realizes is that God is releasing the heavenly host that is overseeing their inheritance, my mother's inheritance, my mother-in-law's inheritance is part of me and Susie. But now he's connecting the inheritances from the great cloud of witnesses. Why? Because the ultimate goal is to give Jesus his inheritance form of putting the crown down.
Yes.
And I saw all this in this dream. Well, I got a hold of David Black and got a hold of Tim. And he goes, man, before you go, he says, I just want to tell you, I don't know what happened, but do you realize we have not connected in 40 years?
Wow.
40 is a very significant number.
Right.
That's a generation.
Yeah.
And him and I mean, he was a drug addict. I was a hoodlum. Thank God we didn't know each other for 40 years. But we're both in leadership. We're both in the same region. We're both generals. Heaven said that. And he starts weeping. He goes, this is the first Christmas without my mom.
Oh, wow.
And I'm realizing the veil between heaven and earth is becoming thinner and thinner.
That's right.
And as we seek the kingdom, fear's not going to have a place.
That's
So when God is saying, Carrie, I'm advancing you to this nation, this. Karen, I'm advancing you to this. Nessie, what is God saying? I'm advancing you that you've let fear stop you from stepping into the role that you feel unqualified for.
Yeah.
Well, you have about 3 days to talk.
But what I'm saying is we go back to the basics, guys.
Yeah. That's
Are
where
you
the
seeking
power
the
is.
Kingdom?
That's where the power is.
Yes. Are you seeking the kingdom? Mm-hmm. When I do, I find the king is still on his throne.
Absolutely.
And he's
yes.
asking me
yes.
to
yes.
rule with him in
yes.
specific boundaries and borders.
Yes. Yes, that's
Listen,
right.
this lady said to me, you and my son are two generals in the same region.
Mm-hmm.
That's a boundary and a border.
Mm-hmm.
And God, Apostle Paul said the same thing. I know my boundaries. I know my, and we sometimes just flat don't realize that God has given us expansion.
Yes.
And so I've come out of this week with an excitement that he's not telling me to push forward, make major changes without first giving me the prayer covering from heaven.
Amen.
Now the prayer covering on earth is coming in line. And I'm expecting it, I'm seeing it, and I'm putting a bigger demand on my earthly prayer covering.
Amen.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Why? Because if heaven's doing it, earth will follow suit.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because we're bringing
heaven
to earth.
Amen.
You know. I think I went to Jacksonville and ran into a lady. She was dressed in a Mennonite dress, and the old style Mennonite. And I'm at a George and Bantam conference, and there's a Mennonite in there.
Mm-hmm.
And Papa Jack, and they I wound up being up front praying for people.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady's like, what beelines me? I want you to pray for me. Well, when she started, I started praying for her. I went into a vision. I saw my own mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so I skirted some of that.
Mm-hmm.
I hid some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And just picked a few things and prophesied over. And guess what? I'm a very accurate prophet when I do
mm-hmm.
that. But I don't really didn't know to what detail. And her friends are like, ooh, you nailed her. And da, da, da. What people don't know is my mother was spiritually adopted by a Mennonite family in the 40s who got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and wound up having this. And they were instrumental in keeping one of the largest Pentecostal churches in Buffalo, New York, afloat in the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm prophesying to this lady
mm-hmm.
knowledge about I saw in her that was like my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And it was accurate, and it was encouraging. Her name is Arlene Zimmerman. And she has connected with me at an extreme level. I gave her a copy of my book, and she's now praying for me.
Awesome.
And it's almost like there's a rebirthing of what I call my mother's prayer club.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what blows me away is I didn't recognize that 3 or 4 weeks ago as much as I went, oh,
mm-hmm.
this has been going on in heaven because it's actually started 3 or 4 weeks ago in Jacksonville. That's not a coincidence.
No.
And so when you seek the kingdom, you see that God has already given you the prayer covering you need.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. He wouldn't put you in the position if he wasn't going to protect you.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Absolutely. But we got to find out what fears we're battling, and
mm-hmm.
make decisions accordingly.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Questions? Answers? I think we're done. Are we done?
Yep.
Okay, the time guy said, is there anything... Did I miss something? Can I just pray?
Yeah.
I just want to bind this. I want to bind the spirit of fear
mm-hmm.
that has been released from heaven. I mean, from hell.
Right.
And it's been the arsenal of heaven has been sent to stop it in its tracks.
Yes. Amen.
I break fear.
Yes.
Anxiety and worry
yes,
about the next season.
That's right.
That God is saying you're going to expand.
Right.
You're going to be prosperous.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Don't worry about your physical body. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to be clothed. Just seek the King and His kingdom, and all of these things will be added unto you.
Thank you, Father.
So this is the year of just to be expanded.
Yes, that's right.
In purpose.
That's right.
And in faith.
That's right.
And let the heavenly realm invade earth. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for
tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.